Hello and welcome to the Silver King's War. I'm Michael Sievers, the writer, producer, and creator of this podcast series about my father's Second World War as a B-26 bombardier. Today we continue in our review of Stanley's War. It's December of 1944. Our hero, the Silver King, is flying for real. December was a busy month for the King's unit. He rode with the U.S. Army's 9th Air Force, which operated Martin Marauder bomber squadrons designated as Pathfinders. And these planes flew in secret operations used for night and bad weather missions. They marked targets for heavy bombers using the OBO system supplied by the Royal Air Force. The OBO system operated through electronic signal beams from separate towers in Dover and Cromer, England. The beams created a circular path 35 yards wide that intersected over the target. As the Marauders maintained course, the beams delivered an audible hum. On the target approach, four lights illuminated the pilot and bombardier panels. Light 1, the initial point reach. 2, bomb bay doors open. 3, 1 minute from target. And 4, releasing the bombs. Pathfinder squadrons were based at A-72, with the Silver King's 597th Bomber Squadron. Planes and the missions provided the 9th Air Force with 50% of its ability to bomb targets in the winter weather of 1944 and 45. The Silver King, of course, could never share the secret missions that were going on within his unit. And throughout my research about the King's War, I have never found any direct information linking him to those secret missions. The OBO's system missions were critical to the success of the 9th Air Force in December of 1944. And the metrics of their success came hard and fast in the middle of December. In early December of 1944, Allied armies were hunkered down in the Ardennes Forest in eastern France, Luxembourg, and Belgium, near Germany's Siegfried Line. Unknown to them, Adolf Hitler was organizing a tremendous buildup in the Eifel Mountains opposite the Ardennes Forest, preparing for a shock assault that would, he thought, turn the tide of the war. Germany had already suffered 4 million casualties. Its cities and industries were being destroyed from the air, and it was running out of fuel oil and coal. But Hitler was ready to try one last great gamble of the war. The plan was for his armies, reinforced by old men and young boys, to break through the rough terrain of the Ardennes, slice through the Allied lines, and swing north to capture the important port of Antwerp, cutting the flow of supplies to the Allies and splitting the British and Canadian armies in the north from the American armies to the south. Hitler hoped the surprise and blindingly bad weather would be on his side. Fog, night, and snow, he predicted, would ground the Allied air forces and give him his victory. The Battle of the Bulge began when the Germans struck at daybreak on December 16th, unleashing a devastating panzer assault supported by artillery and 250,000 men. The American units hit early and hardest were on rest duty in so-called safe areas because many of them had just fought in a prolonged and hard battle in Germany's Hürtgen Forest just to the north. The German units crushed and traveled hard and fast through the bewildered American outfits. Men began to panic and, dumb with fear, often threw down their weapons and tried to run. Capturing 10,000 men, the Germans pushed almost everything that they had on the Western Front through the Ardennes, and within a matter of days, they had created a very deep gash, a bulge, in the Allied lines. Fog and heavy clouds kept Allied aircraft grounded, but American soldiers in small rifle companies, engineering groups, and anti-tank teams fought in swirling snow and zero-degree temperatures, slowing the Germans' penetration and inflicting tremendous casualties on Hitler's youth, who had no idea how to fight, but kept on coming hard, machine-like boys marching straight into enemy fire. Finally, the Americans blunted the German advance, and it became a battle of attrition, one that the undermanned and fuel-starved German army could not win. The conditions were devastating and appalling. The fog was so thick that men could barely tell the difference between their comrades and the enemies. German commandos added to the confusion. They had crossed into Allied territory wearing stolen American uniforms and dog tags. Speaking clear English, they cut telephone lines, gave wrong directions to tank drivers, and switched road signs to slow the Americans. When the skies cleared on December 23rd, Allied planes, over 10,000 of them, began chewing up the Wehrmacht, running low on fuel and harassed by engineering units with anti-tank guns. Some panzer crews abandoned their tanks and started walking back to Germany. By the end of January, the fighting was over, and the Americans were back in the positions they held when the Battle of the Bulge began. The Battle of the Bulge was almost entirely an American battle, the biggest and costliest for the United States Army. Over 1 million German and Allied combatants were engaged, 600,000 of them Americans, and 50,000 British. 19,000 Americans were killed, 47,000 wounded, and 15,000 captured. The Germans suffered over 100,000 casualties. The Battle of the Bulge was the last great ground war on the Western Front and the beginning of the end for the German Army. The Silver King's 597th Bombardment Squadron flew 13 missions in December of 1944, two on Christmas Day. The Silver King flew in the morning mission on Christmas Day. Their target was the Vianden Road junctions, and from the unit history, they did excellent on their mission. The crews were led by Lockhart, Anderson, Festi, Leverton, Pemberton, Brundage, and Levan. Throughout his war, the Silver King had flown with Festi, Leverton, and Pemberton. The afternoon mission was to the Amdorf, a defended village, and an undetermined result. The crews were Lockhart, Higgins, Schmidt, Ellis, Lacagnon, Lowry, Whitmer, Emerson, Oney. The last December mission was 27 December, and the target was the Kahl Railhead with an excellent result. Again, the crews were Pemberton, Festi, Higgins, Schmidt, Emerson, Spalding, Braden, Brundage, and Anderson. The 397th unit history for December of 1944 was posted on 20 January 1945 at the Army Air Forces Facility Station, A-72, north of Paris. It read, 597th Bombardment Squadron, 397th Bombardment Group. Subject: Historical report of the 597th Bombardment Squadron for the month of December 1944. 2. Historical section, 9th Bombardment Division, APO-140, United States Army, through the 397th Bombardment Group. 1. The month of December found the unit continuing to be based at Station A-72 in France. Operational missions were the predominantly important activity during the period. Due to favorable weather for this time of the year, a greater number of missions was flown than was contemplated. The following summary shows that, in the main, the type of targets were in direct support of the ground forces being defended, villages and areas, and communications systems. 2. On 23 December, the group encountered its first large-scale attack by enemy fighters. The following crew members are missing in that action: 2nd Lieutenant F. W. Marshall, 2nd Lieutenant O. W. McIntosh, Staff Sergeant M. Curry, Corporal W. E. Hampton, Corporal H. M. Lachelle, Staff Sergeant J. R. Nichols. On 25 December, Staff Sergeant B. Stipik was injured in action. Item 3. During December, many of the original combat crew members completed their tour of duty and were returned to the zone of interior. On 31 December, the total strength was 334 enlisted and 93 officers. Item 4. Promotions were granted to 22 enlisted men and 6 officers. And item 5. The commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel Frank L. Wood, Jr., was presented with the Distinguished Flying Cross. The award was granted under General Order No. 283, Headquarters, 9th Air Force, dated 6 December, 44. Oak Leaf Clusters were awarded under General Order No. 46, Headquarters, 9th Bomber Division, dated 22 December, 44, and General Order No. 47, HQ, 9th Bomber Division, dated 24 December, 1944. Signed, William J. McCarran, 1st Lieutenant Air Corps, S-2. Stanley's unit, the 597th Bomber Squadron, was very busy in December supporting the Allies' response to the Battle of the Bulge and the German incursion. And as December of 1944 concludes, and the end of a very busy year for our hero, the Silver King, we have reached the conclusion of this episode in our review of Stanley's War. And you are listening to the Silver King's War.